Welcome.
Blog Talk Radio.
America's health crisis. This is Paulette Young, your host for today. And shortly, Selena Lindsay from Sowing Seeds for Life will be joining us also. Today's hot topic is sea salt, good or bad? Is this harming our bodies? They still have a lot of questions that has not been answered because you're just beginning to do the research on it. So they can't just assume it's harmful. They have to study it to see if it's harmful. I know to some of you that does not make common sense. Well, as one once said, common sense isn't so common anymore. Okay, if anyone's listening, all of you that are listening, if you want to be on the show and voice your opinion or share something with us, you can dial in at 858-769-4936 and then press 1, and then you will be on the air. Again, it's 858-769-4936 and press 1. You can either call in and just listen or call in and talk. So sea salt, what's all the fuss about sea salt? Why are we so concerned about sea salt today? What's the big deal? Scientists have discovered some brands of the table salt contain plastic pollution called plastic microbeads. They're not sure if this will affect our health. The salt with the highest amount of plastic is sea salt. A lot of people are into sea salt, and it has a high amount of plastic microbeads. Sea salt is sold in China and in the United States, and it contains the highest plastic pollution. Microplastics are dangerous due to their small size and ability to absorb organic pollutants. We presently do not know the damage these plastic microbeads is doing to our bodies. Shellfish also contains microplastic. So how does the plastic end up in our food supply anyway? Our oceans, rivers, lakes are treated as like a rubbish, like a garbage or dump place. So are we using too much plastic? We have plastic bags, forks, knives, spoons, plates, cups, trash cans, garbage cans, storage containers, etc. Again, you are on the air with America's Health Crisis. Paulette Young, I'm your host with Healthcare Consultants. And our topic tonight is sea salt. Is it good or bad? Okay, some are saying it's bad. Some scientists are saying, well, they haven't done the studies yet. So they're telling us that they're not sure. And that's the unfortunate thing, because we got to show that we're sick. And then they're going to tell us that, you know, that we're okay or not okay. Hi. Who's
Hi.
On the line?
Selena Lindsay.
Hi, Selena Lindsay. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself, the company you represent.
I'm Selena Lindsay, and I represent a number of nonprofits, starting with Sowing Seeds for Life and also the 777 Warehouse and another one called Neighborhood.org. Primarily what we try to do is a little bit of good in each one of them. The original one, Sowing Seeds for Life, primarily what we do is food. And then the next one, which is the 77 Warehouse, we do a lot with parolees, finding a job, and on-the-job training. And the third one deals with housing. We're CHOTO, so that deals with federal funding. So what we actually do is build sustainable housing.
Great. Okay, well, tonight's topic, as you know, is sea salt. Is it good or bad? What do you have to say about that?
Well, it basically looks to me like it's just not that good. Microbeads, which are used in personal care products, and primarily, to name a few, we're talking about Dove and a couple of the things that we use as scrubbers. These products are mainly made from polyethylene and several other types of polyethylene and a nylon, and these products get washed right down the drain. And microbeads flow through the sewer system around the world, and they make their way into rivers and canals and basically straight into the sea and oceans, where they contribute what scientists call a plastic soup. They get into our food, and so it's just not that good. And as of, in fact, this year in 2015, on CNN, a bunch of these companies have pulled back and removed the products, and as of this year, they will terminate using microplastic beads because of some of the many, many problems. They know that microplastics is accumulating, and it degrades into even smaller pieces upon exposure to ultraviolet radiation, which is just like the sunlight. And the concentration of marine microplastic is accumulating. It's really stacking up rapidly. And so it's just nothing good to basically report about it, other than they came up with a way to obtain it, but we just have a lot of backlash. Certain marine species are unable to distinguish between food and microplastics, and therefore they eat it.
How sad.
The fish, the whale, everything is in there. And some species of fish, they're able to excrete the plastic easily, but others, which basically they had about six different species, and they found this stuff in their stomach. And it's just doing terrible harm to basically our environment. And, of course, you know, the sea fish is consumed by humans. And humans have been recorded with plastic fragments inside of their guts and body tissue.
Ew. Wow. So how are they, like, sea salt is a trillion-dollar industry or billion-dollar industry. You can't, how are you going to, I mean, that's something that's used all the time or it's gained popularity over time. So,
well, it gained popularity because it was another way for them to get it. But first of all, is basically where it comes from. It
mm-hmm.
comes from them getting rid of plastic in the water in the first place, which has caused this huge problem. They started putting it in soap, after more and more people became aware of what was kind of going on with this stuff, and even in some of the other cosmetic products that we use, such as Vaseline, Pond skin cream, and other personal care products. And the plastic microbeads are used as a scrub material in personal care products. And people begin to complain about their drains are stopped up. So if you're using that soap, it was plugging up the drains.
Wow.
And the hand cleaners and industrial cleaning products. Basically, in a study which was done by the Thompson's group, they found that microplastic particles were even remained in mussels for 48 days.
Wow.
And so
ooh,
this has just turned into an outrageous problem. And these things are really small, like 5 millimeters. And, you know, it's like 0.2 inches long.
Right.
But it has turned into a major marine debris. It's just creating a lot of products, a lot of problems because it's got into some of everything. It got into the fish, it got into the food, it got into the ocean, and because of this, as I said before, CNN did a particular interview of some of these makers, and what they have agreed to is basically by the end of this year, their phase out should be complete, and that they're going to take all this stuff out of those products because it's creating so many problems.
Mm-hmm.
So it is just not good.
Yeah. And I was reading, you know, because we've been saying, they've always said, oh, well, the environmentalists have been saying that we have a problem using all this plastic, especially it's not biodegradable, and then it's ending up in the oceans, it ends up in our dumps, but it ends up in the food chain, unfortunately, and that's where the biggest problem is, and how can you stop it from, you know, ending up in the food chain? And like before, you probably, one of the things we talked about was that BPA, that bisphenol A, because it's a component of plastic. And they already know, even though they won't say factual, they just say, well, possible that it interferes with our endocrine system. Yet they got physicians have report after report what's happening to their patients in that area. Yet they just said, well, most likely, but they won't say factual, unfortunately. But they do know that's a main chemical that's in the plastic that now we'll see when we're buying products, it'll say, no, it's free from the BPA. or BPA free. They let you know, so you'll know if you want to buy the product or not buy the product based on if it has that chemical in it, and that's in the plastic. And that's been a big concern because it has been a huge health problem. Even though now they have all these different organizations beginning to show a huge interest and funding to study this effect of this plastic microbeads on our oceans and what it's doing to us, because it is ending up in us because we're part of the food chain as far as consuming that stuff. Because I think of that old, I don't remember that, the verbatim, the that rhyme, nursery rhyme that the cat ate the mouse.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm not sure, the dog chased the cat. And then and it goes from there. And we can see that with this plastic that ends up in our ocean. The fish eats it, and then we eat the fish, and then we get sick. The bottom
well,
line.
Well, it even goes a lot further than that because there is a person named Dave Swanson, which this article came out last month. And one of the things that he states is salt is about as basic as an ingredient that ingredients get, aside from water. But the sad thing is that salt is in almost everything that we eat.
Yeah.
And one of the sad things that's happening, which we all know what happened in Japan, but what's showing up now from China by researchers at Shanghai East China University, there was a team that analyzed 15 brands of common table salt bought to the supermarkets throughout the country. And this was including from briny lakes, wells, and salt mines. And what they found was more than 1,200 particles of plastic microbeads per pound. And what they're saying is some of the causes are it's coming from disposable water bottles, polyurethane, cellophane, and other varieties of things that are being thrown into the water.
Wow.
And this thing is just getting ugly. And basically what they're saying is plastics have become an ambiguous contaminant.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. You know, when it's in your salt, then it's in you.
You know, it you know what boggles my mind? Plastic boggles my mind that you have to really do a study to stop it. It's not food. It's a non-food item. Yet we're accepting a certain level for people to consume, and well, let's do a study to see if it harms the body. You're putting a foreign thing that's not food in the body, and then you want to see what harm it does.
Well,
that part,
some of this has finally come to a head, and fortunately that it has, because like in places like Illinois, it was one of the first states to basically come up with a jurisdiction, and they were the first in the world to ban plastic microbeads from personal care products in 2014. And pretty soon other states followed suit. And companies like Colgate-Palmolive, Unilever, they have committed to end using these microbeads. But like you say, meanwhile, you know, we do need studies of how plastic is invading salt and other American food ingredients, because it's not just that we should be concerned with. We have to be concerned now with some of everything. And seafood, which is suffering from a toxic dose of plastic waste. Because it's they got concerned and now they're going to stop it. But now we're at an epidemic where it's going to kill us.
Right, and it's not just here in the U.S. It's global. It's everywhere. Now, China has been listed as having the highest, the sea salt coming from China has the highest concentration of the plastic microbeads, and they contribute a lot of that to the ocean, where that they're getting, I guess, the salt from, or the area has the highest concentration of plastic microbeads. Now, U.S. salt has it too, but they list China as the highest, but they don't exempt, you know, the other salts. And because when sea salt first hit our market here, all of a sudden it was in potato chips to everything you look around had sea salt. In fact, people were banning having just regular salt, switching over to sea salt, saying that it tastes better. Now, isn't that something? It tastes better to people, yet it's the thing with the highest concentration of plastic in it.
Well, isn't that what we hear about all the time? They get the same thing with sugar. It tastes better, doesn't it? But it's 300 times sweeter than sugar.
Right. Okay, this is America Health Crisis. Paulette Young and Selena Lindsay is your host. Selena Lindsay runs quite a few nonprofit organizations. And a little bit later in the program, she's going to talk about that and give you information how you can get involved or get a hold of her with her organization. We have a 909-518. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, I can.
Hi. Did you have a question, or tell us your name and a little bit about yourself?
My name is Evangelist Clara Cottle, and I fellowship with the Family Church International in Pasadena, California. I am a cook there once a month on the third Sunday of every month for feeding the homeless, and anyone that is hungry, come by, stop and eat. That address is 1540 North Lincoln Avenue in Pasadena. What I would like to know, because I really love sea salt, and I want to know, what are the side effects? I came on at 6:13. Miss Lindsay.
Well, some of the side effects, which is obvious, is because it's in so many products. For instance, it's in your Dove soap, it's in your cosmetics. So not only does it plug up the drain, if you're eating it, then it's plugging up your system. You know, you're going to have colon problems. You're going to have colon cancer. You're going to have strange bowel trouble because the plastic is doing the same thing that it does to a sewer system. It plugs you up. And these plastics are not good plastics. These are the plastics which retain PET and polyurethane, and there are several different versions of it that have all kinds of cancerous properties and things that it does to your body that is just no good. It is so no good that the very companies that manufacture them, such as Colgate, Palmolive, and Dove, they're now taking it off. They're taking it of their products.
Wow.
It's a bad idea. And worse yet, basically what we're talking about is we were previously discussing, again, sea salt. And a part of what we've learned is that sea salt is one of the worst because it has so many of these microbeads in it. It's something like 1,200 of these little beads in this stuff for every 0.2 millimeters.
Wow, that's high.
Holy.
That's very high. And then just the thought of you're putting, it's not even a food item. It's bad enough. Our foods may not agree with you, but when you put a foreign product that's not even a food item in the food or into the food chain, you can't help but if they did no research.
Well,
they
have allowed.
This stuff is damaging.
They've allowed all of these microplastic distributors, electronic corporations, all of these guys are responsible for their machinery and things which dump this stuff into the water. And in turn, what has happened is it has just messed up our ecosystem. And the so-called put a Band-Aid on it is there are certain companies that are opting out and saying, okay, we won't buy any more of them. But that still leaves 300 more companies that are in business selling it.
May I ask you another question?
Yes,
okay, you're saying that they're dumping this into the water. Okay, the water bottles that we buy, the water is supposed to be better than the sink water. Is it? If this stuff is being dumped into the water?
Well, one of the radio shows which we previously did, basically sort of what we discovered is that a lot of these so-called bottling companies, and I like to say bottling companies, you're not getting bottled water. If you think you're getting it from Niagara Falls or some special place, you got another thought coming. The water you're getting is municipality water. It's the same water coming in your fire hydrant.
What?
And they do filter it through their little filters, but the majority of what you're getting, and some of them they add a little taste to it, it's still municipality water. They don't go out to the river or to the mountain to get the water. Whatever you're looking at on television, that's fake.
Mm-mm-mm.
It's municipal treated water.
Mm-hmm.
And these same people that make the water are the same people that make the soda.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in the business to make money. And when it's put into the plastic bottles, there are some changes that took place. They decided to use a different type of plastic and a different type of treatment with that plastic because everybody became aware that the plastic bottles create cancer. And I don't want to go too much further with that because that was one of our other previous radio shows, but I hope that helps answer your question. It's just
all right. I got it. Thank you.
Yeah, so
wow.
The bottom line is we're still putting, see, just like Clara, you like the sea salt, but you like the taste and not realize that with that comes the plastic micro beads, which the organizations, they're attracted and they're interested in, there's funding for this area. And you have the EPA, that's the Environmental Protection Agency. You also have the National Oceanic and the Atmosphere Administration, that's the NOAA. Then you have the National Academy of Science, that's NAS, as well as researchers, nonprofit groups, and various institutions all around the world. There's a big interest in studying this information on sea salt. And what is it, you know, is it harmful to humans? Because now this has, the plastic part has entered into the food chain. Your shellfish has that plastic micro beads in it also. And so, and we love our shellfish, like crabs, lobster, shrimp. So how much of, what is the percentage? They don't have enough studies done yet, but now it's gained worldwide attention. Just the thought of putting plastic, and that's what you're doing to your body. It was bad enough we had the BPA. Now we have this, and, you know, and it goes on and on. And Selena has already given a wealth of information and, you know, about it clogging the body. And there are efforts to begin to ban having this plastic in our foods, period. Something has to be done because what's going to happen is your health system is going to skyrocket in another area. People are going to get sick. They probably already have. It just hasn't been documented yet. They haven't done the research yet. So now that it's a big deal, they're going to begin to do studies. And to me, why? I know they have to do studies, but some common sense have to be here? Why, you know that plastic is not going to break down in somebody's body.
Yeah, it's just really crazy. And, you know, some people may ask the question, why would they put microbeads in soap?
Yeah, I didn't know that it was in soap. That so they can, wait, my thoughts on that is so that it can clog the drain and you can call the plumber.
Well, actually, what they did it for was, the tiny bits of plastic create a small scrubbing component. And so they use it as like a skin exfoliant because, it rubs and it gets the dirt off of you. But that's the whole problem, it gets into the water treatment system when it's washed down the drain. And so here we go back with, contaminating where all that waste goes because it's going straight to the ocean.
And, there's supposed to be a ban on, like, plastic bags at the stores. And then, they still hand us the plastic bags, remember? They're supposed to, they had passed a law by January, I forgot which year it was, just a few years back. What was it, 2013 or 2012? At your grocery stores, they would be only giving you paper bags. And then that never took effect. You passed something that didn't take effect. Every store I go to still give you the plastic.
And in certain places, they've been doing little things which I find these astonishing. There's a professor from the University of New York. And so what she decided to do was to go out and sail, and then they drug behind their boat a fine mesh net in the waters at half-hour intervals to snag basically anything that was bigger than a third of a millimeter. When they got finished, they had 17,000 bits of tiny plastic items per square kilometer out of Lake Michigan. This stuff is really plugging it up. And it's in all different colors, black, white, green, just as we see it in our Coca-Cola bottles and all these other kind of things that we use. But that's how bad this stuff has entered into our ecosystem. And it has now basically created a toxin. And, some of the states, as I previously mentioned, like Illinois and New York, they actually have gone as far to pass a bill in the state Senate to ban this stuff. Because they essentially, and as we said before, they wait till it just gets so bad that, finally they decide to basically sign a law so that even manufacturers will have to phase out the products that they're putting it into, but they got to do something with the people that are manufacturing it because when they do what they're doing, they're using water and supposedly, certain systems that they have are supposed to make this stuff a lot better. But it's just not happening because you got people from what they call the Personal Care Products Council. So you have like Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble, that they are finally also standing up and saying, okay, we got to take this stuff out of here because, they're getting on us, and now they're coming up with something that's probably going to get worse. It's sand and apricot seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And what's that going to do?
Wow. Again, you are on America Health Crisis. This is Paulette Young speaking. We've had Selena Lindsay on the line along with Clara Clotto, and we're talking about sea salt. Is it good or bad for you? If you want to call in, the number is 858-769-4936, and press 1, then you'll be on the air. I'm going to go to a short commercial break, and then we'll resume talking. One of the things we're talking about, the insides of our body and trying to make it better, there's a product called Protantum. It's a very, very powerful natural herb. It's a powerful antioxidant with NRF2 protein that helps the cells do what they're supposed to do. Inside our bodies, we have a lot of oxidative stress, and with sea salt, we probably increase the oxidative stress on the cells. So you want to decrease it, you can order the Protantum, www.mylifevantage.com/Paulette Young, and you can go on the website and order that product, because all of us are going to have to figure out ways to decrease this oxidative stress inside our body.
I am a mother.
I am an entrepreneur.
I'm a journalist.
I am a singer.
A businesswoman.
I'm an artist.
An educator.
A sister.
An advocate.
A leader.
A queen.
I am a friend.
I am
one of more than a million people living with HIV in the U.S.
We are not alone.
Let's stop HIV together.
Get the facts. Get tested. Get involved.
Hi, we're back on the air with American Health Crisis, and we have Selena Lindsay. I left off with her talking. Go ahead, Selena.
Yes, well, one of the other things I wanted to mention, because sometimes people just ask, what are we talking about? Basically, what I'm talking about is this sea salt is in common products that you just don't think about it. It's in Neutrogena, which is made by Johnson & Johnson. It's in your Dove soap. It's in Dore. It's in Elizabeth Arden. It's in Walmart in a soap called Equate Beauty. It's in your Blackhead Eliminating Daily Scrub. It's in your Oil-Free Acne Scrub. It's in Men's Razor Defense Face Scrub. It's in Body Clear Body Scrub. It's in your Oil-Free Acne Wash. So it's in a lot of things that you don't even think about. And the product is, the main product that's in it is polyurethane PE, which this stuff is just detrimental. Mm. And a lot of the companies that I'm naming, there's no basic agreement that they're going to stop manufacturing this stuff. Target has one. It's in the Blackhead Facial Scrub with Ascorbic Acid. It's in the Target brand Acne Wash. It's in Victoria's Secrets. It's in Walgreens Blackhead Cleaning Scrub. It's in Rite Aid products. It's in Oil Olay, which is Procter & Gamble. So it's in many, many things. It's in the moisturizer. It's in the Rapid Clear Foaming Scrub. So these are many other products that we all buy at the store, and we won't leave out Shea's Sugar Body Scrub. So it's in a lot of stuff. And that's
it sounds like these scrubs are cosmetic. I wonder about companies like Mary Kay and Avon and the different ones that have their products. I haven't researched that to know, is it in their products also?
I'm sure they're probably in the same bag of soup with a number of their just different products. I have not researched them in particular. Because what I did was look up, basically they have a thing called the International Campaign Against Microbeads in Cosmetics. And these people are on the list.
Mm. Wow.
And it is a big 3-page list.
Wow. It seems like we have a madhouse, as I want to call it.
It's even in your toothpaste. What?
Why would you need something like that in scrubbing, I guess.
That's it.
But then you some of that is swallowed. I mean, you don't dry, but it goes in your body.
Well, I hope you
switch out the toothpaste. It's messing up your enamel.
It's what?
What does that do to the enamel of your teeth?
Well, supposedly it doesn't do that much to the enamel on your teeth, but it would take a dentist that knows various different products to expound on that particular issue.
This stuff has gotten, society has gotten, in some respects, out of hand in some areas. But, the environmentalists have been hollering about plastic for years. For how many decades? They've been hollering. It's just gotten worse over time. A lot of us ignore it, including myself.
The public is just not aware of, which is the reason why I just gave out a little small list of what are they talking about. This is what they're talking about. It is these products. And these products, all of them, which are basically a lot of cosmetics, they're getting into our water system.
Mm-hmm.
And
if a person is on, I know physicians have already, when sea salt first hit the market, some doctors were against it if their patient was on potassium or high blood pressure pills. Not because it would interfere with the medication or what those items were supposed to do to the body. So they're against you taking sea salt or eating foods with sea salt in it, because it counterreacts what the medication is supposed to be intended for. But then if the doctor don't say anything, the average person wouldn't know.
But at the same time, they're culprits themselves because they're in there washing their hands.
That's true. And then that's going down the sewer, and the sewer to the ocean, and the ocean to the animals, and we eat the animals. See, we're all going to be vegetarians soon. And you can't become a total vegetarian because you do that. You got the GMO, genetically modified food.
And even us old women, we're using what they call age-defying makeup. And
the anti-wrinkle stuff.
And this is what's filling in your wrinkles with plastic dust. As well as your lipstick gloss and your nail polish. Now, get this. Most wastewater treatment does not filter out microbeads. They get discharged right into your faucet.
And stay there. And if they come up with something that can dissolve this stuff, it'll kill you.
Well, a big question is, could the plastic you're washing your face with end up in your sushi? Crazy, but yes. Fish species that humans harvest for food have been known to eat microplastic particles at an alarming rate. And this plastic transfers straight into the fish tissue.
Who would ever think table salt would contain plastic pollution? You know how much, and maybe that's why our bodies is craving plastic. How people love the salt things. Is it because the plastic involved and it tastes so good? Then that goes those bouillon, chicken bouillons and all that kind of stuff. I don't know what they put in it, but it sure tastes good when you season your food with it. And there are natural ways that you could, there are natural salts where you would never have to use regular salt, period. There are natural herbs that are salty, but We don't do that. We use all the things that are unnatural, like sea salt. And as Clara stated, she loves that stuff.
we all love our salt.
So
it's a sad situation because what they're doing is they design these sea salt plastic microbeads. They're designed to wash down the drain, and they simply don't break down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what they like to call it is bioplastics. And
bioplastics.
I am a mother.
I am an entrepreneur.
Oh, I'm sorry,
I'm a journalist.
I am a singer.
A businesswoman.
Yeah, it stopped. I'm sorry. That was an accident.
And a big question, too, is, you know, why don't they use an alternative? What is the alternative? Well, what they're thinking is better, that it will be smarter to use cocoa beans, apricot shells, jacoba beans, and pumice.
Mm-hmm.
But my suspicion is, once you start plugging it up with that, now what's that going to do?
Mm.
That's their alternative.
Wow. Yeah, what will that do? I know we better do like the old folks used to do, or still do, is they pray over everything, pray over your foods especially.
And the bottom line is we're being duped with cleaning up with plastic.
Right.
And polluting the environment.
Mm-hmm. And now it's, you know, with the large organizations, it's a big concern. So money's being poured, but it's being poured into research. It needs to be poured into commercials. Say, don't buy the stuff. It's plastic. Scratch the research.
Yeah,
tell them let people know that they're salting. They're putting plastic on their food. That's where the money, that would turn everybody off. They'd think twice before they buy those products. But it's money is involved. Everything we've talked about so far on this radio station, money's involved. And so it's a slower pace in getting it turned around.
Yes,
the money's going to be involved in healthcare too, if they don't stop this stuff. Healthcare is because there are going to be more sick people. And they've got to figure out ways to keep people healthy, not them getting sick.
Yeah, well, they keep grinding up the plastic bottles into these little bitty, they even grind up the plastic bottles into little bitty beads, you know,
mm-hmm.
because they want to heat them up and mm-hmm. do the same thing with them. And that's what they do. They put them in face washes, moisturizers, mm-hmm. toothpaste, and all these other types of products and cleansers. And these are seriously big companies. When you talk about Johnson mm-hmm. & Johnson and Procter & Gamble, these are huge companies. I mean,
mm-hmm.
so your Tide washing powder got a little bit in it. No wonder it cleans real good.
The cheaper products will tear your clothes up. It's right, got too much plastic in it. So you got to be careful. You're going to buy that Big Lots and it's, $3-$4, and you wash your clothes and they got holes in them. So you got to be careful, or you won't have no clothes.
Well, basically what we got is a Trojan horse effect. You know, they sent these little things in here, and we don't understand what's getting unloaded out of this little Trojan horse.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, now the good part is there are things going on in a national conference of the state legislatures, and this is as of July the 15th. You know, there are states, and there are 18 of them, that have basically banned it. And there are other states which we're waiting to see what they're going to do, like Michigan, Minnesota, Washington, Oregon, and even California. And in California, they have a bill that will not only ban synthetic particles, but also biodegradables from the companies that are developing this stuff as an alternative. So there is a little bit of something going on, but like you said, it hasn't happened yet.
Nope.
And meanwhile, we got to live with it. And it's just not good. You know, that was the question. Is it good? No, it's not good. This is disastrous.
Yeah, it is. I guess, and that's the unfortunate thing that's taken place is that, you know, concern is coming late, but at least late is better than never. You know, for those are, as I mentioned earlier, like EPA and some of the oceanographer, at least they're on board to study it. Even though I think more money needs to be poured into advertisement so that people understand that, hey, there's plastic in your salt. Our regular news will hit the article, you know, one article, two articles, and then they're gone. They're not saying anything more about sea salt.
Yes. As of the beginning of this year, Procter & Gamble and Unilever, which is a multinational consumer goods company, they are phasing out the plastic microbeads from their Dove soaps and other products at the beginning of this year. Now, mind you, phasing out.
Oh, yeah, they got to take their time.
But there are more than 3,000 products that contain polyurethane.
That's a lot. I also wonder how this stuff gets started, putting this stuff in there. And I guess the bottom line is money was involved in that too. Because you put these things in there, you can make money. Stretch out a product and how it's made by putting in fillers. It's like the hamburger at Carl's Jr. It's not 100%. Yeah, they do put 100% beef, but they forget about telling you it's got another 100% fillers in it.
Well, all it takes is Cheryl Tiggs to wash her face, and everybody buys it.
And they don't realize what they're washing their face with.
Exactly.
Because the average person don't question it. And then there's no warning signs. I think our products need to have more warning, more information about what's in the product before we buy it. There's just not enough information on a product now. Because we find out, you know, to hit the news and you'll say to yourself, what? This is, you know, it should have a sign, warning, plastic microbeads.
Well, maybe in
high concentration in this product.
I think even if they had the original warning on it, they would not have divulged what it's doing. It would be like tobacco.
Mm. Yeah.
A cigarette box has a warning on it. Okay.
And you know, and that's not something that everybody consumes. Now, something that everybody consumes, there's no warning signs.
Exactly.
So there's something very wrong with that picture.
So, again, my little wording, the Trojan horse. You know, they have a number of different products, but they're not going to put on there that, you know, this is going to create, you know, something in your food, or it's going to plug up your drain, because who would buy it?
Right.
You know, that's not the option. The option is to make money, and asking the question why they do it, because it's effective for what they designed it to do, which was to clean and to act as an abrasive. And it's effective when you say it's in age-defying makeup to fill in wrinkles. No wonder your face looks good until you wash it.
Because it's full of plastic.
Yeah. You're not going to have a wrinkle.
plastic will straighten you out just like
No wonder when you wash it off, you just age some more. You put cancer on your face.
Yeah. Well, they straighten out the outside and they plug up the inside.
Yeah, and as they say, you're gonna need more of the product. Because if you're planning on looking good, you're going to continue to have to use more and more of the product.
Mm-hmm. You have to use it every day. Yet there are old, ancient, or things that they use in the old days that are more natural that won't do all that stuff, you know, to your body. At least it won't destroy it the way things are destroying our bodies today. And this is really... And when I saw that come across the news, I couldn't believe it. I just said, are they serious? You know, I know a lot of people love sea salt. They use it exclusively. They use it for, you know, when they're cooking. They stop using regular table salt, even though there is a problem with regular table salt, too. It's just a higher concentration of this microbeads is higher in the sea salt than other salts, and it shouldn't have gained such popularity the way it has. But then we have to look at our regular table salt has gotten a bad rap anyway, telling you not to use it because of high blood pressure, but not saying the same thing for the sea salt. You should be saying the same thing. It's messing people's bodies up. I mean, it's and they don't even know. I don't like it that they're telling us, well, we're not sure what it does to the body. We're not quite sure because they haven't done a study yet. That's just like, you remember the energy drinks?
Mm-hmm.
They knew within the first year that it's killing people, young people, old people, middle, didn't matter, messing their hearts up. And they're going to take, they took 5 years, and they didn't need a study. I just think all this waiting for a study, there need to be better documentations with these physicians, a requirement with them. There's your study without creating wasted money on a study where the doctors have all the numbers. They have, because they see the people first. Before you even begin a research, they see them. So it's just backwards how the whole thing is done. You don't need no $1 million funding. Hey, just talk to the doctors. They can tell you this is what happened to my patient. And it happened afterwards. And see, the numbers for, like for the energy drink, those numbers were so high you couldn't cover it up. You know, you couldn't say, oh, well, it was due to something else. No, you asked the person, they did a full history. They were okay, took one can of the energy drink, and now you got to have quadruple bypass or you're dead. You didn't need long 5-year research, but that's the way they do it here. This is the United States. So we take 5 years to tell. They're going to take 5 years, and all these organizations are involved, hundreds and millions of dollars of studies, for 5 years to say plastic is not good for your body's inside. That makes not even common sense. Not at all. But that's the way we do our studies. And how can you stop it? You train the
medical
people.
Well, it's very difficult when, you know, they have so many retail gourmet salts, they have so many bath and spa salts.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big money industry.
They
have so many commercial beautification products in addition to all of the products that we actually eat. They have it advertised like all natural flavored sea salt, pure ocean, and even one that would make you think, what is that, dead sea salt?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very interesting, you know, all of these different things that they have, but all of them
mm-hmm.
have micro plastic beads in them.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them are just not good for you anymore.
No, it's not.
We're back to how salt was always mine. You know, out of a mind, because they put the stuff in it. And this plastic, it's clear. It's not good for us as human beings at all, and it's not good for our environment. It's not good for anything that we eat. It's not good for the fish. It's not good for the ocean. And it just goes on and on, because when they designed it to not be filtered out of the water, what is it that we cook with the water?
Mm-hmm.
It just becomes mind-blowing. It's in everything.
Wow. And then
and
they
so
had what you call, I'm almost sure you're familiar with, it's called AB888, and that's the legislation that provides the strongest protections from plastic microbeads pollution in the country. It's unlike the bans like in the state of Colorado, Maine, New Jersey, Illinois, and Indiana. This one is going to ban plastic microbeads, and including the biodegradable plastics, many of which do not biodegrade in the first place, especially in the marine environment. They said that the bill will encourage companies to shift towards more suitable natural alternatives, like I don't know why, and I know you have mentioned like natural derived alternatives like sea salt, apricot pits, and walnut, but that the sea salt has too much stuff in it. So it's like you're going to do one thing, but then it doesn't make sense. None of it makes sense. And they're supposed to ban it, I believe it's by 2020. But you know what? Supposed to. Because remember Teflon?
Mm-hmm.
Teflon was supposed to be banned by 2010. Then when 2008, the housing market dropped and caused like a ricochet effect throughout the country, Teflon has been given till 2025. So it's based on the economy when they pass these legislation, when they're going to actually get rid of it. And I like what you said earlier. They're going to phase it out. It's like McDonald's going to phase some of their products out, or what's in their products.
Yeah, they're going to sell all
the antibiotics. Huh?
Yeah, they're going to sell everything they got.
Yeah, like McDonald's has promised to phase out the meats that have antibiotics in it. Meaning, you still got the antibiotics here. Your child, you got a young girl or a young boy, they're going to have all those crazy hormones and things in their foods, causing other problems down the line. So it's all about economics. Money is involved. So when they call themselves banning stuff, it's not going to be like right away. This
oh, no. And the numbers just go through the roof. In
yeah.
one study, 35% of 670 mm-hmm. fish examined, and it was a total of six species, they had
mm-hmm.
microplastic in their stomach. And the
mm-hmm.
highest number of fragments found in one fish was 83.
Mm-hmm.
It's astounding.
Yes, it is astounding. Okay, you're on American Health Crisis. This was Selena Lindsay and Clary Cottle speaking. They're going to continue to talk about sea salt, good or bad, the impact it has, and towards the end of the program, Selena Lindsay will talk in detail about her organization that that she has and that's up and running, and how you can get the information. Then Selena, I'm going to turn the program over to you now, and then you'll close it out around quarter to eight or 10 to 8, okay?
Okay, will do.
All right, thank you. Hello.
Hello, you have Selena.
Hi, Selena. You're still on the air, correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay, just go ahead and continue to talk then.
Okay, what we're talking about is microbeads in sea salt. And one of the things which has occurred with Unilever, which they announced that all of their products worldwide would be plastic-free by 2015. And other multi-international companies have started following suit. Now, the Dutch Cosmetic Association, which is basically run by Colgate-Palmolive and L'Oreal, were stopping the use of microbeads. Two of the other multi-internationals have issued similar statements, like Procter & Gamble. They replied to a letter to the Marine Conservation Society and Flora International saying that their products would only be free from microbeads by 2017 at the earliest. Johnson & Johnson said it had already started phasing out microbeads and was no longer developing products containing microbeads. These microbeads have turned out to be just not a good thing. They are really messing up our oceans, and it's creating problems in everything that we do. Part of the problem is the understanding of what we as people understand the stuff is in, and it's in many, many of our personal care products. And a lot of these products, as we were talking earlier on the radio show, includes common stuff like toothpaste. And it is also in our water because they have a designer method of how they heat this plastic up to the point that it basically passes through the sewer system filter straight into your municipal water. So we are consuming this plastic by the tons. And so are the fish and the food and our fruits and vegetables and basically everything that we do. This has turned into a worldwide problem. And there are few states that have stepped to the plate and started to do their phase out of companies that are using these products, or to make state laws that say you can't do this in our state, because it has turned into a tremendous problem. And the biggest problem, in my opinion, is people. We have to stand up and say this can no longer be tolerated, period. Because how can we do everything to go green, to clean up our atmosphere, and we as the consumer are contributing to this problem? This is outrageous. Any of you that are listening to this program and you have questions, I'll be glad to answer your questions, because we need waste-free oceans. We need to clean up our environment and clean up the fish and clean up the water. And we as the people, we need to do all that we can do to, number one, be aware of what is it that they're doing that is contaminating our very environment, and what is it that they're doing that is just staggering to our health. And to have the nerve to say that, okay, hands up, I've been doing this stuff, but I can't stop doing it until 2 years from now. That's a bunch of bunk. If other companies, which are even bigger than you are, have deleted this method and consented that they're going to stop using and phase out these microbeads, you should too. And it should take you a lot less than 2017 to be able to do so. And I want to know, what do you think? This is ridiculous. And it's ridiculous what these microbeads are doing to us and what is doing to our the biological chain and the impact which it has on our biological chain. It is just horrendous. And as Paulette stated early, why is it these products don't let us know certain things about these products, that it contains these microbeads? Even if they don't state what it's doing, why don't they print it on there that it contains these microbeads, which come from sea salt? And a big question is, how did it get there in the first place? It gets there because the companies and the manufacturers, and we as people, we are not disposing of our waste properly, and it's gotten into the water system. And water is everything. It came from the water, and now it's coming back to us. And it's just not good. It is not good. Paulette, are you still there? Paulette, are you still there? Is there anybody else out there that has a question regarding this situation? One of the other things that I wanted to talk about is, and we talked about previously, is and just for public knowledge, as to some of the products that actually contain these microbeads and some of what these products are basically used for. And previously, some of the products that we talked about were, for instance, Aveeno. Aveeno is manufactured by Johnson & Johnson, and there's another product called Clean and Clear that is also manufactured by Johnson & Johnson. There are many, many products like ClearSeal. That's a common product that a lot of individuals use to get rid of acne and to clarify their skin. Clinique, which is made by Estee Lauder, that is another product which contains microbeads. There are many bath products that contain microbeads. Some of the products which come from, say, CVS and CVS Pharmacy, such as their oil-free acne, the Clear Start Blackhead Cleaning Pore Control, Instant Gentle Exfoliant. All of these have polyurethane in it. And there's another product by Christian Dior, which it has microbeads in it. Elizabeth Arden has products which have microbeads in it. Neutrogena, which is a very, very common product, which is made by Johnson & Johnson, has polyurethane in it. Men's Razor Defense, Pore Refining Exfoliating Cleaner, Oil-Free Acne Wash and Daily Scrub. All these products are loaded with this stuff. Now, the killer part is when you use these products, and this stuff goes straight down the drain. And as I said earlier, the manufacturer designs these microbeads so that they're not filtered out of our sewer system. It goes straight into your municipal water. And then, of course, you can just imagine what's going on with this municipal water. It goes directly into our food and into our fish. And there are a number of different studies. And let's not exclude Victoria's Secret, Walgreens, Target. All of them have products such as Shea Sugar Body Scrub, the Olive and Shea Sugar Body Scrub. Target has the exfoliating body wash and a 2-in-1 wash and scrub. The Blackhead Cleaning Scrub, which comes from Walgreens. All of these products have sea salt microbeads in it. We want to be clear that we want to be healthy. We want all of you to be healthy. And this is a terrible thing that has sort of slipped by. And earlier I mentioned that this is like a Trojan horse. They slipped this in here. And we, the people, we need to do something about it. We need to contact our Congress, our Senate, and say no more. We don't want these products, and these products are detrimental to our environment. And something needs to be done. It is very clear that they have used unconscious thinking concerning sea salt microbeads, and it just needs to stop. One of the other things that I'd like to talk to you about, because many people call up and they ask exactly what are these nonprofits that I'm constantly talking about? And one of the ones that I'd like to talk about is Sowing Seeds for Life. Sowing Seeds for Life, the founder is Vicki Brown. And primarily, this particular food bank, the overall intention was to create a 501c3, which it was created in 2005, and the mission is to eliminate hunger. And we work with America's Second Harvest, which its mission is feeding America's hungry through a nationwide network of member food banks, which are engaged in our country to fight and end hunger in our local communities. What we do at Sowing Seeds for Life, in which I am a board of director, we provide food for those who have been placed in difficult situations due to illness, accident, misfortune, and basic living essentials. Ever since we began distributing food in 2007, Sowing Seeds for Life has grown from providing food to 100 people a month to over 1,000. Currently, we are probably serving about 8,000 people a month. Sowing Seeds for Life, we conduct cooking classes, gardening classes, and events for community children to enjoy, such as arts and crafts and activities. We have unique ways of educating them, and Paulette Young is even one of the educators that provides education regarding health. And we think those things are very important. It is more than just providing food. In order to do that, we provide food which is 100% free. And any of you that are interested, if you are you need a food and you're within the Los Angeles County area, you can go to 1350 Arrow Highway in La Vergne, California. The zip code is 91750. And the phone number there is area code 392-5777. And please speak to Fran. And the days that we distribute the food is the first and the third Wednesday of every month. Another organization in which I am the secretary treasurer, and it's, again, one of the organizations that I feel very, very strongly about, is Neighborhood Community Development. And primarily what we do there is, again, cultivate and educate in our community, and primarily in the area of economic development and community revitalization. We try to build pride in home ownership and respect for one another within our community. Being a choto, which what a choto means is a community housing development organization, which is chartered on the HUD. Daryl Johnson is currently the CEO, and if you have any questions about this particular organization, you can call 909-352-3345. They'd be glad to answer your questions. And our location is 378 West 16th Street in San Bernardino. There are many projects which are currently on the board, and all of them are primarily to do basically one thing, and that's to create funding for people that are at what we call the 80% median income levels. And so what we attempt to do is to build new housing or to obtain housing and then provide that housing to low to moderate income families and individuals that meet the 80% median. Some of the other projects include neighborhood cleanup and community, which comes under what we call community rehabilitation. So we do alley cleanup. We fix up boarded up property. We create other things such as the media center and a training center. Again, any questions that you have, feel free to call again, area code 909-352-3345. And last but not least is a project which we call the Community Warehouse, or better yet, the 777 Community Warehouse. And it's a very unique organization, which primarily what we do there is on-the-job training. We also provide food, and we deal a lot with people that need to do community service. And so all around, the entire attempt is to do whatever we can do to help people in the community be aware of research, education, and rehabilitation not only in housing, but in themselves. This concludes basically what I have to say. And for those of you that are listening, have a great evening. Good night.
Mm-hmm.